Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh, and today I am joined by Comics Experience Workshop member, amongst other things, and somebody that's got a comic that is currently in August previews, if you're listening to this in August, for his comic Thompson Heller Inner... Nope. See, I didn't even get it outright. I practiced this ahead of time with the writer Milton Lawson, who's on the line. Thompson Heller, Detective Interstellar, and I don't know why that gave me so much problem. I'm gonna keep it in. I feel like I can't edit it out. I gotta keep that transparency. But Milton, thanks for your time and coming on the show and talking about how you got from, you know, thinking about comics to getting this into previews, which is no easy feat. So I appreciate your time on this.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and apologies for throwing you that tongue twister to start with.
You know, it's right there. It's literally right there in front of me. It's Thompson Heller, Detective Interstellar, and my brain. Bobby Kurnow was just on, and Bobby oversees IDW's My Little Ponies line, and those are the hardest names to read aloud to a child. Is Applejack, Swish Swash, Owlicious. Like, they're just all those names that I don't know if they're meant to be said aloud, but this is one that I should have been able to clear that hurdle. It's a very low bar. It's a great title. So let's talk a little bit about how you got involved with wanting to do comics, and then I don't know if you did Comics Experience at the same time, a little bit about your background that got you to the point of wanting to do comics, and then we can get to how you got to the point of the series coming out.
Sure. Well, the short version is I've always been interested in storytelling and writing, and I first pursued that in a couple of different varieties. I tried some prose stuff. I tried to do a lot of screenwriting because I'm a big cinephile, love movies and television. And a few times I've got close to trying to produce something independently and ended up sort of putting myself in the role of director as well as writer. And I swiftly learned that I just did not have the skill set to be an on-set director. The number of decisions and feedback loops that happen simultaneously just would freeze my brain. And so I still wanted to tell stories, and I tend to think visually, even though I can't draw. So comics was a natural progression for me. And once I landed on that, I found that with a much smaller band of collaborators, you could get something out in the world.
Right.
So that's what got me, pledging allegiance to the medium. But once I made that decision, my first few attempts at writing comic scripts were just dismal. I'm sure a number of other first-time creators may have had an experience like this. I tried to rope in friends to give me feedback on scripts. And, you don't want to put that on your friends.
Right.
It's like you don't want to turn your friend into a therapist. They've got things to do. And especially when you're at the beginning, you're terrible. So it's hard enough to go through something you've delivered that's bad, but then have to deliver to you the bad news that, hey, these are the infinite number of things that are wrong with this. And that's not a pleasant experience for your friends.
Right.
So I sought refuge in some sort of community or something. I didn't know what I was looking for. I actually first heard about the workshop in one of the previous incarnations of this kind of podcast when Andy would sometimes go on the iFanboy podcast.
Sure.
And I was very impressed with the things he would say, and that got me to check out the forum, and I signed up, and I immediately saw the value in the structure there of reciprocal feedback, peer review, pro review, and the amount of lessons and techniques that you learn through that process is just a heavily concentrated and dense experience that allows you to up your game notch by notch, quantum leap by quantum leap. And it was such a valuable experience to me.
But to that point, I think people entering into wanting to do comics, a big thing to overcome is that peer review and feeling like, you know, obviously you're motivated and self-motivated to a point to get a thing done, but there's so much you're trying to understand and do. And then on top of that, like you mentioned, who among your friends can you solicit for advice or get feedback from? And sometimes, you know, I've mentioned it before, it's a process to get to the point where you understand what you don't know necessarily about making comics. And that can be, hey, I got layouts for the first time, and oh my gosh, I need to completely rethink how I do this. Or, you know, any of the other number of steps that are kind of those big learning moments in comics with learning curves. And that is the great thing about a forum like Comics Experience or other places online, including social media, is you can find people that are at similar stages of development. So it sounds like for you, it was great for the feedback, great for understanding stuff. You can, you know, anything that comes to mind, you could actually ask somebody either over a message or just start a thread and say, hey, I'm curious about dealing with a lawyer. Do I have to think about contracts? How do I hire someone? All those things that for me as somebody trying to get into comics weren't first thoughts at all. It was like, how do I tell the story that I want to tell? How do I improve it? How do I get to a point where somebody might want to buy it? Or how do I find an artist? And you obviously were able to work through, you know, any and all questions. Was this one of your early concepts that you wanted to do, or what all did you start doing to get to this point with Thompson Heller?
Well, I had a number of different projects that were kind of on the front of my mind at the time, but Thompson Heller was not one of them. In fact, Thompson Heller was born in the workshop in response to a challenge. Sometimes in the workshop, you know, people post the challenge. You know, like one of the ones I participated in was like, hey, write a story themed around winter. So I wrote a winter themed story. And then Thompson Heller came about. One of the guest contributors in the workshop at the time was a comics pro who said one technique to create characters is this sort of synthesis method that I learned, where you take two different elements and combine them together and create a new character. Huh. And the example was, take like either a fictional or a known character that you know and put them in an entirely different sort of environment. Mm. And so the example they gave was William Wallace of Braveheart. Okay, imagine that guy as a Star Trek Starfleet captain. So by putting him in an entirely different context, you snap your fingers and you've got this entirely new character.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, you know, come up with a response to that. And the challenge was, once you come up with the character, then write a short 8-page story from that character. And the character I came up with from that writing prompt was Thompson Heller.
Yeah. Interesting. So you saw that. And is that one of the things where in a moment the story starts to crystallize, or you just like that as a character to go from and try to build the story and plot around that?
It was kind of a multi-step thing. The first kernel of the idea was like, okay, who's the first, you know, atom in this molecule? And the first atom in the Thompson Heller molecule was the writer and essayist and polemicist Christopher Hitchens. At the time, I was thinking about all Christopher Hitchens. I had just recently read something by him or something, and he was on my mind. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put him in a different context. Like, the example was to put someone in Star Trek. So I said, okay, let me think of like a different context for Christopher Hitchens. And I'm a huge fan of Warren Ellis's Transmetropolitan, which has a similar formula. It takes the gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson and puts him in a cyberpunk future. And so I said, okay, I'm going to turn Christopher Hitchens into a sci-fi something. And then the whole detective thing sort of came in, I don't know where from. That was pure magic, and I thank the creative muses for that one.
Well, describe the story a little bit for folks that aren't familiar. And like I mentioned, you can find this in the August previews right now from Source Point Press and Comics Experience. What's the pitch for the series or miniseries?
The pitch is that Thompson Heller is a private detective who roams the stars solving cases, and he specializes in cases that have some sort of political or moral dimension to it. That's what attracts him to try to solve the case. And in each issue of the three-issue miniseries, we've got a standalone case that gets solved, beginning, middle, and end. However, in addition to solving three cases over the course of the miniseries, there's also an overarching character arc. And that comes into play where Thompson Heller is renowned throughout the galaxy as a really prominent atheist and skeptic. But the woman he is falling in love with is a high-ranking religious academic in the big religion in the galaxy. So there's kind of a crisis point in their relationship that's introduced in the first issue, and that gets explored a little bit further in the next two issues.
Nice. So it is. It's a number of things that seem like they could naturally contrast each other, and the conflicts that, you know, you find in life and in lots of stories. That's great. It sounds like a very I was just reading through your copy again in previews. Another impossible case for the man whose friends call him Hell. Just the whole thing is just kind of nicely peppered with the character bits. So you get a sense of who that character is pretty quickly in the story in the first issue. And the color or the cover as well as the solicitation copy.
Thanks.
The A to B, and obviously, yeah, I don't know how long you've been working on just this specific comic, but comics don't, I mean, sometimes I guess they happen overnight. How long have you been working on the overall series? And maybe talk a little bit about how you met the rest of the creative team.
Can I assert my Fifth Amendment privileges here so as not to incriminate myself? No, this is a quite an amazing journey. Truth be told, I think the very first script for Heller was 6 years ago.
Wow.
And the journey it went on was quite involved for a number of reasons. One of the primary ones was we had a sort of beta version that was ready to go with an artist, and then things just didn't completely work out.
Sure.
And I had to change artists, and this was much for the better because the book improved immensely in the fact that I was able to find Dave Chisholm to get to do the art. So ultimately, that major time delay turned out to be in the book's favor. But this is another one of those lessons you learn in comics that, you know, bad news that you get right at first might not be bad news.
Yeah.
But you're definitely going to get your unexpected curveballs. And that definitely lost us, you know, at least about a year and a half right there, just from that happening.
Sure. It does. But sometimes, like you said, those are, it's okay. It's comics is such a long game in so many ways that something like that as a delay is a lot of times kind of inevitable, especially when you're doing creator-owned stuff. Well, folks may or may not be familiar with the Comics Experience publishing program, where they've teamed up with SourcePoint Press as a publisher that they work with regularly to put out comics that have been developed in the workshop. So obviously with Thompson Heller, you had developed it in the workshop. What was the pitch process like for you in working with the way that that program is set up with SourcePoint?
Well, it was pretty interesting because when the opportunity came about, Comics Experience Publishing was still a sort of a new idea, and I had some other projects kind of in the pipeline, and I wasn't really sure what was the best, strongest project at the time, but this seemed like the natural fit for Comics Experience Publishing because it was born in the Comics Experience workshop. And so my challenge at the very beginning was to take a 8-page short and not only turn it into a standalone full-sized issue, but expand that concept into a mini series.
Wow.
And there were a ton of lessons learned in that. For example, I did not have proper respect for the writers of the mystery genre until I went through this myself. In an 8-page short, I kind of cheated in the original version in terms of the way that the mystery aspect was handled. It was kind of very caption heavy, very narrative heavy, very, you know, and then the case got solved just right. Sort of matter of factly. But when you expand it, I think the readers would expect more immersion and more, you know, first person direct experience. And I learned kind of quickly. I didn't learn this quickly. I learned it through pain that the mystery genre does not really translate easily to standalone one issue comics. And it's quite a challenge to deliver a satisfying mystery that takes you on a journey, that presents twists and turns, and a challenge that, you know, you want your detective character to be able to analyze and overcome, and do that in, you know, 22, 24 pages.
Yeah.
Is quite a trick. And the workshop really, really helped me go through that. Each one of the scripts, issue one, issue two, issue three, went through the peer review process. Some were a little bit harder than others, ultimately it was refined and forged and ready to submit to the publishing program.
You mixed a couple, well, not really mixed genres, but your setting, you're dealing with alien worlds, aliens, different technology, and yet, you know, you're doing a detective story. So it's kind of tropes that people might get if they're familiar with detective stuff and maybe not. Did you feel like, and maybe this happened through your feedback and you're going through drafts, did you feel like you simplified over time to help folks understand? Or was that something where it was like, oh, it was never really complicated. This just helped me really streamline how I was telling the story. Because I know sometimes when you're introducing aliens or doing something in alien worlds or something that's foreign or different, it can be a little bit of, you know, how much do I want to explain about this? And how much backstory do we really need? Or do people just get like, yep, it's an alien. I get it. Let's go.
I think the streamlining and iterations on the clarity like questions were much more helpful for me in issues two and three. Issue one, I had a little bit more of a layer of confidence just because I had gone through the process on the short. So the expanded version of the short, I felt I had at least a roadmap to guide me. But then in issue two and issue three, I introduced some complicating elements that the feedback in the workshop from peers and from pros were really helpful. In the second issue, I deal with a lot of emotional content, and that was kind of new territory for the series. And then in the third issue, it's just crazy nuts action with multiple layers of complexity, and getting that one to hum was quite a forged in fire sort of experience. But I'm very, very proud of the third issue. I know that everyone says this when they make a comic, but the first issue I'm proud of, the second one's better, the third one is fantastic. So
now with hindsight, did you find yourself doing any kind of revisions to what you'd written in the first and second issue? I would assume those would be natural anyway. If you have the luxury of having some time to build out those issues, you can go back and tweak things and make payoffs different, or you realize like, oh, this could be a great added part here, or maybe this, you know, shifting it around because it's a mystery, maybe I do this here.
The entire arc of the three issue series was not really firmly set in stone when I made the first issue. In fact, the character that is now the complicated romantic love interest was originally sort of plotted out as kind of a more boring, functional antagonist in a very just sort of straightforward and bland way in the original outline.
Yeah.
And it was a workshop member who responded back to me and said, "Hey, why don't you consider changing the gender of this character? What would that do to the dynamic?" And that one piece of feedback just completely blew my mind and rearranged the entire spine of the miniseries. So that feedback, and is from one of the best writers I think yet to be discovered in comics, is a guy named Rick Quinn. And he's a workshop alumnus, and he's just an absurdly naturally gifted storyteller. And his feedback instincts that he gave me on the forum were always just fantastic.
Oh, that's great. And that is a huge part of it. If it's sometimes it's just a little bit of rejiggering or somebody asking a specific question, and to have that kind of insight of, because I know that pretty much, yeah, anything that I did and put up in the forum, it was the same way. You'd have those questions where they're, you know, in my case, I think it was a lot of smoothing out some storytelling edges and clarity and learning to write a little bit more streamlined. So it helped me understand what is the story I'm telling. But there are those notes where somebody goes, "Hey, what have you thought about this?" And to really get that feedback that is constructive, and it is that they're not trying to tell you how to write the story. They're trying to tell you, or give you a, "Hey, have you ever thought about this? Or what if you did that?" So you can mull that over and go, "Oh yeah, if I just crank this a little bit to the left, look at where we land on that now." And it becomes a different thing. So it's great to be able to have that kind of feedback when you might not be working directly with an editor or somebody that's helping shape the story that same way, and that can give you those notes and to have that that kind of management.
Yeah, and that's another one of the lessons that you learn in the workshop. I learned as much, if not more, from receiving feedback than I did giving feedback. Taking other people's scripts, seeing how they wrestle with things, see how they solve things, was just illuminating line by line, page by page. And then also learning how to calibrate your own feedback between there's the version of the feedback you would give if you were telling the story, but there's the version, like you said, where you don't want to cross the line and start telling the other person's story or tell them how to do that, but just point out some options that they may not have considered, and just help them go where they didn't realize that they really needed to go.
Right. Yeah. It's a funny thing that I think you can develop over time if you don't come in with that kind of background or that kind of skill set. Is trying to figure out how to give good feedback is a skill that you can acquire, because I feel like the first couple of times I was trying to do script reviews, it reminded me of my college radio days, where if you wanted to be on air, you had to do a number of album reviews, and you had to essentially give a synopsis that if somebody was playing a record, or I guess at the time a CD, not to date myself too much, they'd have something to talk about beyond just, "Hey, and here's who's Skurdoo." They could talk about, you know, the whys and wherefore. And it's those things that, like, I'm not a music critic. I don't know anything about writing about music. So you try to distill that down to a couple sentences that feel relevant to somebody. And for that kind of critical feedback, it's sort of that same for me as, "Hey, even if I don't have a lot to say, you know, can I talk about the parts that work? Can I offer, like you did, that you got some, hey, maybe this kind of thing works here, or does this work like this, or are you trying to tell this kind of story?" And, you know, I tried to also not just give a deluge of, "Here are all my thoughts," because I think that was one of my impulses early on too, was to kind of over talk it or over analyze it and try to step back and look for some big picture details, but also anything that might be a good suggestion to that particular story.
Yeah, and I found that the process was routinely humbling and inspiring at the same time. I must have read around, 60 or 70 scripts over the past number of years in the workshop, and there's there is a spectrum. However, every script that I read showed that the person contributing it, I think, had an available pathway to them to where they would be able to make a good comic or make a great comic. And if I look at the two farthest edges of that spectrum, the best script I ever read in the workshop and the worst script I ever read in the workshop, that worst script still had ideas and moments of genius in it that inspired me and thought, wow, I never would have thought about this the way this person did.
Right.
Wow, I just learned something, you know, and this was in the context of something that otherwise I was frankly not a fan of. I didn't like this. I didn't like almost everything. And then there's that one moment, and then that's the moment that I fixate on, and that's the one I remember.
Yep.
And that's the one that becomes valuable to me.
Oh, that's
and
huge.
Then the greatest script is an amazing lesson as well, because you don't really have much to say other than thumbs up, great job, and you're struggling to, because you want to at least show that you've engaged with the material. You struggle to have something constructive to say.
Yep.
But it's a nice humbling thing too, because you know you might think like you're on this path and you're destined to succeed and you're doing all these things well. And then you see someone else that's just quantum levels ahead of you and you realize, oh my goodness, I've got to up my game. This is a whole new way of looking at things. So, both far edges of the spectrum were very valuable.
And it can certainly be, yeah, it's one of those things. I know sometimes we've talked about trying not to look too much on the grass, greener on the other side of the fence, but there are those moments where you go, oh yeah, I see that they're operating at a different level. And you can kind of rework like, well, obviously, that could all be natural. That could be background and start to try to see if you can figure out like, hey, how'd you get from A to B and figure out the way to up your game to get to that. And sometimes it's, at least for me, a lot of the times it's just sweat equity. And
yeah,
just trying to learn.
I just recently watched a fascinating documentary about a basketball player. And this basketball player was a high school prospect in the early aughts. And he was ranked the number one prospect in all of basketball. And he went to this exclusive camp. And he gets on the court and everybody's expecting him to dominate. He's this, you know, legendary figure. And then onto the court strides this young, somewhat lesser known, but, somewhat touted, other contender by the name of LeBron James. And LeBron James just swoops by this guy and does this amazing last second shot that's athletic in the variety that we came to know of LeBron anyway. And just that moment of stunning, just beholding, like, how did that happen? How is this miracle even existing? You know, I did get to experience that a few times in the workshop. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great. No, it really does. It helps put a lot of it in perspective. And sometimes when you get to see behind the curtain and understand a little bit more about, how do you get from here to there? And there's always going to be somebody that does it differently, or you might think better, or it's a fun thing, comics. It's one of those where, you know, somebody's success doesn't define you. And I think that can also be a hard thing sometimes for people getting started to say, I want my image deal. Why am I not writing Batman? You just, you got to figure out what you want and how to get there. And it's also a little bit of an ever-changing target for at least me anyway. And, you know, especially now in the time of dealing with global pandemic and everything else that's in the swirl, at a local level, state level, internationally, wherever you are, you might be dealing with so many different things, and sometimes that will impact how you do comics and any kind of other creative endeavors you might have if it's not your full-time job. And most people doing comics because you love comics and you want to do comics. And with getting Thompson Heller into previews, where else can folks go to find out information about this? Where else should they look for you or look for information about the comic?
Well, I think the easiest way is to just find me on Twitter. I go by @CitizenMilton on Twitter. We also have a website set up for the comic, thompsonheller.com. And there you can see a little bit more about the creative team. I'm super just fortunate to have a couple of amazing artists working on it. The artist Dave Chisholm, who has he has a triple threat of books coming out this year. I won't stake a claim as to Heller's significance, but his but his other two books this year are end of year best of list worthy books. And this is somewhat of a debut of the colorist Fabian Cobos.
Oh, nice.
I hope I pronounced that right. I mean, he's been in Heavy Metal magazine and a number of other places, but I think this is his first published book along this variety, and he just killed the colors. Yeah, thompsonheller.com, @CitizenMilton. That's where to find more. And you can find a trailer, so you can get a quick, succinct preview.
Excellent. And the trailer's out there too. And you mentioned you're Citizen Milton on Twitter, and you're obviously active on the Comics Workshop forums. So lots of places to find you. And I know, let's see. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at stats and information differently. I know a lot of people are interacting with Comics Experience in different ways on different social media. But if you want to have an easy kind of don't miss it way of seeing what's going on over there, you can always sign up for the newsletter, and that's at the website comicsexperience.com, and find out what's happening. And there's of course Instagram and Facebook and Twitter for Comics Experience. If you have a question, you can email info@comicsexperience.com, or you can tweet @comicexperience, and we will talk about it here on the show. Milton, thanks so much again for your time on this, and the folks listening won't hear. This has been the most interrupted show by my daughter that I've recorded since March, so I appreciate your patience with occasional demands for popcorn.
Oh man, just thanks for having me. Thank you to, you know, thank you to you and to Andy and everybody at Comics Experience who provided feedback on the many, many different iterations of the script. So thanks a bunch.
Absolutely. And that mini series one more time is Thompson Heller Detective Interstellar #1. I gotta try to redeem myself at the end as best as possible.
Nailed it.
I'm gonna use it as my way of warming up the talk from here on out, I think. Anytime recording a podcast, just do that. That'll be my vocal exercises. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Milton. And until next time, thanks for listening and keep making comics.